Hi guys, welcome to another Thursday with Vintage and Vintage Heart. Yes, every single Thursday I'm going to keep introducing myself like that because I mean, how else am I going to introduce myself? Anyways, it's another week and I am most happy to be here. Every time I'm happy to be here, and it's simply because I always feel so good after each episode. Right now, remember that last week I mentioned that we have officially come to a close on the episode and series Love on the Streets of Lagos. Now, I also mentioned that I was going to be starting a new series. I didn't know what it was back then, but now I am ready and prepared and I'm dishing it hard, right? So I'm starting up a new series and I feel like it's about time, right? Because I was running on Love on the Streets of Lagos for weeks, long weeks, and I felt like I had given as much as I could on that ground. Now I want to go outside of that and see what else I actually have in my basket of knowledge, and I have been able to come up with something. So on from today, I am going to be starting the series okay, I'm so excited about it. The series I'm going to be starting from this week is A Typical Day in Niger. Yes, I feel like I always got to stick with what I know, what I'm used to, what I see, and you know, just regular stuff, because I cannot go ranting about what I don't know, right? So this is supposed to be a free expression ground, and I would like to feel like I'm entitled to what I'm talking about and that I know what I'm talking about, right? So which is why you see me picking topics related to where I live, what I do, what I see, and possibly what I've done. Right, so yeah, starting from today, for as long as I can manage, our new series is A Typical Day in Niger, and I'm going to be keeping it as close as home as possible. Right, I'm not going to be talking about fairy tales, typical stuff. Right, so as many as listening to this, I want to believe that I actually have Nigerian listeners. Like, I mean, I do, right? I'll check up on that. Point is, I want to know that you can relate to a certain percentage of the things that I say, right? So I know that a typical day in Niger can be different, and you know, the possibilities are vast. Like, so many things can happen in a day, not even in Nigeria, like in a day, so many things can happen no matter where you are. But there are just regular things that we tend to find, and you know, just we cannot take out of our day and routine for the virtue of being a Nigerian and living in Nigeria, right? So one of the few I can mention right at the top of my head is hustle, religion, and culture. Three of the things that are like part of us, that no matter where we are, who we are with, we just tend to be very religious, very cultural people. Like, they're always looking at you like, what's she gonna do next, what's it gonna do next, because you know, like, they're tying every part of what you do or say to your cultural background, right? So those are a few of the things. And then hustle, a few of the things that no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is, no matter what part of the country it is, you just tend to find bits and, you know, parts of these three things. Now, what I plan to do with this series is that I am going to be taking day after day as much of these things and more that I would find, and hopefully to be like personal experiences and just something that I can relate to you and you feel like, yeah, she's making sense, right? Because though I'm not an expert, I like to think that I do make sense most of the time. So the essence of this is to share what I see and how I live. Basically, that was the idea, that going outside of Lagos right now to make it more relatable to anyone listening to this, you know, from any part of the country, and just getting a general view of what a typical day in Niger is. I mean, Nigeria is a big place. It's a beautiful place to live, really, and you know, that diversity is so beautiful that it cannot just not be, I don't know, expressed. Yeah, so that's the point. I want to express our diversity as much as I can handle it, and just make it more beautiful words this time, and just try to paint the picture in your mind as you're listening to my voice. I hope that I can successfully do that, and this will not just be a big old dream that just cannot be actualized, right? So getting right into it for today, since I've introduced the series, what I'm going to be talking about particularly today is one part of the whole thing, which is superstitions, right? I thought about it long and hard. Like, there's so much that you can see. Like I said, there's so much happening in a day, so much can happen. But I have found that Nigerians, like Africa as a whole, but just as I said, what I know, Nigerians, we are very, very superstitious persons, and our own superstition is like on a very high level. Like, you could see a person sneeze and somehow they associate it with something in the spiritual realm. It's crazy, I'm telling you. Like, the religious part, the cultural part, and then just this mentality just tends to all mingle together to make it impossible for you to detach physical from spiritual. Like, I understand it, that, you know, you believe that things always have a reason behind them, right? It's cool, but I mean, just sometimes, come on. Like, that is what I'm going to be getting into today. I'm going to mention some of my personal experiences and let's see which you think is worth a laugh and which not. All right, so I think firstly I have to mention the fact that I utterly believe that superstitions are just, they are crazy stuff. Like, people are okay doing things simply because those things have been existing for long enough. Just how long is long enough? I don't know, but it's just been existing that long that they are okay with doing it, with believing it, with living in that pattern, that you are okay with praying whenever you, not just praying against evil spirit, whenever you sneeze, simply because you saw your grandfather do it, and his grandfather saw his grandfather do it, and your grandfather saw, I don't know if you see the part, like, you see people do these things, and then years upon years afterwards, it's still being done, not because there's actually any justification or reason or any physical backing to, or even any sort of backing to the fact that if this is not done, this is gonna happen, but it just being done anyways, you just keep doing it, and it becomes part of the people's culture just because it's been done long enough, right? Now, despite the fact that there are so many religious people in Nigeria, we still tend to believe these superstitious things, and it's like crazy because I don't see, you know, it's not supposed to work hand in hand, right? You're religious, you're superstitious. I don't know, man. Particularly living in Nigeria, it's like you cannot just escape the superstitions. Like, it's part of our culture, really, that we just do these things because it's been done long enough and there's no explanation. You just go with it and people keep learning it and it goes on and on, right? So living in a Nigerian home, I guess it's part of the growth and childhood experience and just normal life to be in various superstition situations, right? So on this episode, I intend to mention some of my, just three of my personal situations in such, situation, my superstition situations. Yeah, I'm going to call them that, superstition situations. So I don't know what else to call it. I'm just going to go with that. All right. So I am going to mention just three because I believe that at this point, any of the three I'm going to mention, I have been able to break free from them. I'm not sure, but we're going to find out along the way. So I'm just going to give it to you, three of my personal superstition situations. So number one is, no, wait, let me do a countdown. Right. So it's going to be the third, the second, and the first. Right. I'm not saying the first is going to be the biggest or anything, just I want to do a countdown. All right, so my first superstition situation on the number three spot is, god, that feels good. Okay, the third one just like this, you should get it as the story is just narration, just go with it. All right, so the third one is this. Now, I used to believe that sweeping, when you're sweeping with this broom, not, there's several types of broom now, but I'm talking about the one like stick, the actual stick broom in bunch, and then you tie it together, that the broom that we know, when you're using it to sweep, right, and then it hits you, or I don't know, should I go with the English or the Nigerian English, like when the broom pinches you, when it chokes you, like as we would say in Nigeria, when the broom chokes you, the actual down part of it, the part that touches the floor, when it chokes you when you're sweeping, that you ought to hit it on the ground three times to somehow reverse whatever the broom has done. You know, whatever part of your body it hits, you should do that immediately. Now, I have actually believed this for a very long time. I think it was just this year that I broke free from that. Like, I utterly and completely believed that if I didn't hit the broom three times immediately it hit me, that something would happen. I don't know how I learned it. I can't remember if it was at home or at school, but it was just something that's been going with me for years upon years. Like, I would be in my room in school then, and then someone is sweeping and the broom hits me. I don't even want to explain why I'm doing it. I just take the broom from you, I hit it three times on the floor, and then I give it back to you. No questions, no explanations, right? So it's like, I've been doing that for the longest time, and it was just going with me, it was growing with me, that I just could not see to even question why, you know. So it was just this year, I don't know what day or what month, but I was in the kitchen, right? So my sister was sweeping and then the broom hit me. So I was like hitting on the floor three times to reverse, and the thing was that she wasn't in a good mood that day, right? So it was like when you're talking to someone that's not in a good mood, you just try not to push it, right? So she was like, hit it so that what will happen, you know. So when she said that, I didn't know how to, you know, like, I was, she has to hit it. I was just telling myself, she has to hit it. Something's gonna happen. She has to hit. What am I gonna say? And I was there thinking, what am I gonna say? She has to hit it. And minutes passed. And, you know, she was done sweeping. She left the kitchen. And I was like, okay, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And that was it. You know, that was just it. And from that moment onwards, it was just sinking in my brain that you can actually get hit by a broom and not have to hit it three times on the floor. Because I have had very embarrassing moments where someone is sweeping and then I have to, and it hits me, and then I have to start explaining to them why you have to hit it three times. And sometimes we laugh it off, other times it's like very embarrassing, but I have kept on doing that simply because I grew up believing it. And that day in the kitchen, that was just it. For the fact that nothing happened, you know, I've been hit by the broom a couple of times after that, but, you know, I didn't feel the need to hit it three times. Even if I do hit it three times, I don't feel like it's going to be a duel, because that's what I felt. Honestly, I believe that if that broom didn't hit three times on the floor after it hit me, I was going to die or something. I don't know, but I just knew that something was going to happen. That was just it. But that day it just clicked, right? No questions were asked, so, you know, no revelation was given. But now, you know, it's like, I've learned, man. I've broken free, right? So that has the number three spot. What do you think about it? Okay. Now, the number two spot goes to this one. Now, if you are a Nigerian as a kid and you went to, you know, school here from primary to whatever level you are right now, you would know that there was this general belief back then in school. I mean, I've been having it for the longest time, so I can't even pin any point where it started, but I know that in school was the part where it was very, very serious, right? The thing is, we believe that anything that touches the floor belongs to the devil. Right, so you don't pick it, you don't even touch it, you don't even pick it and throw it away, you just leave it there. I'm telling you, if it's your favorite biscuit, if it's your sweet, whatever it is that hits the floor is the devil's. So you don't pick it. You picking it is because you want to trade it away, and then you gotta pray like, I just touched was the devil. You know, like, the big thing was that you just don't eat it anymore. And that was it. We kept on believing that no matter how clean that floor is, I could have just sweeped and mopped that floor, and then something falls, I cannot pick it because it belongs to the devil. It's like, now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds stupid, because it's just ceramic, like, it's tiles, it's concrete, it's I don't know, it's a carpet, it's a floor. For God's sake, you fall on the floor, do you belong to the devil? You see, the pattern is like, just no questions have been asked, and we go on like that and like that and like that. And for the longest time, I believed that whatever hits the floor was the devil's. And I lost so many good biscuits and I lost so many good sweets because I believed that whatever hit the floor belongs to the devils, because I didn't think to ask questions because my classmates were doing it, because they told us. I don't know who told me, but they told us, and it was just some sort of programming in our brain, and we believed they were so young, and it grew with us. Now, for this particular one, I cannot say at what point I broke free from it, but I guess growing up and mopping the floor and sweeping it every day, and then your chicken falls on the floor, you can tell me you will pick it up. I guess that was it. I guess growth was what helped me break free from this. But honestly, it was a very big issue. It's still a very big issue, actually, that kids believe that whatever hit the floor, you know, it belongs to the devil. And then some of them lose this precious things. I mean, it might not seem so serious, but you know, they're growing up with the fear somewhat, and it's transcending to some other things, but we are not seeing it because, you know, we're just young. And I know so many people that grew up, you know, I don't know, feeling bad for throwing their friend's stuff on the floor, for I don't know, for not being careful not to share their stuff with the devil. It's crazy. Those things don't even make sense. And we believe this for so long, for years upon years upon years. And I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know if growth was able to change it for every other person, you know, but I'm grateful that I don't believe that anymore. And honestly, if I come across a child that believes that, I can't even say I know how I'm going to help them, you know, unbelieve it. I don't know, because you got to be patient and all of that. But honestly, if you do know a child that believes that whatever hits the floor belongs to the devil, then you just got to help them understand that the floor is just the floor. Okay. Well, before I go to the last one, my number one spot, I just have to say this, okay? We are very superstitious people, and it goes beyond just three of these experiences that I'll mention at the end of the day. There are so many of them, like so many that we don't even, like I said, we don't think them to be superstitions, but they are. Things like, you know, being as a kid, mostly these things just grew with us. So as a kid, there was this thing that you had to, like when someone says something bad to you and you want to, I don't know, reject it, you got to move your hand anti-clockwise 3 times over your head, and then you throw it, you know, backward behind you. It's crazy. I don't know if you got that the image. Someone says bad some stuff to you, and you know, you just your hand anti-clockwise 3 times, and then you throw it behind you. It's crazy. You could just say God forbid, and you know. But I mean, we did it for the longest time, and it just grew with us. So many of them that I cannot think of right now. So I'm just going to go right to my number one spot. My number one spot goes to a very popular superstitious practice in Nigeria. I mean, every single person in Nigeria has at one point or the other been in this situationship with, you know, this particular top pattern. Now, there's this thing that when someone calls your name, right, and you answer, but no one actually called you. So when you hear your name and you answer, but nobody called you, you're answering a call from the spirit world. Now, some even go further to add that you answering that means that some sort of evil is coming for you, that you're going to die, you're going to have a bad dream. You know, it depends on the part of the country that you grew up in. So much has been added to that. But the very foundation of that superstition is that whenever someone calls your name and then you answer, but no one actually called your name, now you're answering the spiritual world. So I was going crazy on that. I think that's like, it's even chilly. I'm getting chills right now, right? So I believe that with all of my heart, such that on some occasions where, you know, I would be at home and my mom is at home, and then I would hear my name, and then I would answer, and then I'll go to her and say, "Mom, you called me." She said, "I didn't call you, and there's no one else at home." And then I'd be losing my mind. I'd be like, "God, I don't want to die. God, I don't want to die." I'm like, You know, it's like, it's creepy. Like, who is calling me? It's just me and my mom. And my mom is not at home. And I know she's not pulling my legs or anything. And it's not just once, but twice and three times. And so when people call me and something like that happens, I'm like, I'm turning religious, bro. I'm praying. I'm like praying in my heart. And my heart is beating. No matter how much I want to look unfazed, I'm just praying in my heart, God, I rebuke and I reverse no evil fashion against me. Like, oh my God. And I'm telling you, like, going crazy. So many years doing that. And doing that, you be in the village, you be in the city, you be in the town, wherever you are, and that happens. It just, like, the world is coming to an end. And we believe so much in that. Like, it was just, I don't know. And the funny thing is that even times and times after, you know, people call my name and then I answer, but no one called me, nothing happened to me. You know, but every single time again that it happens, I'm going mad. I'm losing it. And I'm like, I don't want to die. And on and on and on and on and on. Now, how did I break free from this? Right. So during this few months that I was staying at home, it's recent. Yes, I broke free recently. Now, I happened to come in contact with several facts like oranges, a citrus family, that kind of thing. You get me. So facts. So one day I was reading on this fact that I have, just random places, I download them and then I share them sometimes on WhatsApp. So I was reading up on the fact and I came across one that says that when you hear someone call your name, or you hear your name but no one actually called you, that it is a sign of a healthy mind. And then I just paused. I'm like, hold up. Are you kidding? Oh my God. Are you actually being serious? Are you telling me that this whole time I've been losing my mind? My mind has actually been telling me that you're not losing. Like, are you serious? It was like, God. You know, it was like it was a crazy day. That was like telling myself, man, it's crazy. And I remember sharing it and people were like I was getting so many reactions like that, like wow. I think that one was like the biggest of them all, because it was associated with dying, and you know, it's like spiritual world, darkness, scary, creepy. And it was like a very, very big thing and people went crazy about it. Like, you know, even if you don't react to it, and you know, you go to answer and then they are like, I didn't call you, then people around is like, you've answered the call of the spirit. You get, so it was like just a group thing. You couldn't help but to think that way, because everyone was thinking that way and they were acting that way. So learning that, it was just, I don't even know, like right now I'm feeling like maybe that fact isn't so true, because I've believed it for the longest time that, you know, just a science statement is finding it very difficult to just change that. But you know, I am learning to, you know, to unlearn it. So it's a gradual process. On that one, is still a gradual process on that one, because it was big. I'm telling you, some of those days I couldn't sleep. I would sleep with my Bible and then I'm praying like, God, I'm too young. God, I am so young. God. That's got to be the craziest one, and that is exactly why I gave it the number one spot. Well, guys, that's it. Three of my personal superstition situations. And I wasn't even I wasn't exaggerating or just being ridiculous. Every single thing that I said has at some point happened to me. And I feel like I just had to highlight them and put it as I felt. And I'm actually very, like, I'm happy that I'm able to paint them this way. So, well, tell me what you think, or at least I hope that you thought something. I don't know. I think at some point I'm going to have to drop my contacts for people that might want to contact me afterwards. I mean, I know that some people already know that, some of my friends, that I shared the link personally. But anyways, I'm going to think about it, if I should drop my contact or not. But whatever happens, this has certainly been a good episode and I hope you enjoyed yourself. Till next week, I gotta run now. Bye.